Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
In 90 minutes, I have to start a 12-hour fast. Oy. Anybody who knows me knows that I need to have my snacks while working. I don't know how this is going to go. You guys, I could turn into a really hangry host. I don't know. I generally have snacks all the way through the show that I'll nibble on or, you know, just kind of scarf down during a break. And usually when I leave here, my stomach is growling. I have no idea why talking burns so many calories. Maybe because I'm so loud and because I talk with my hands, something like that. But I don't know what this is going to be like. Not only can I not eat after the middle of next hour, so wherever you happen to be, if you're on the West Coast, we're talking about 12:30. If you're on the East Coast, we're talking about 3:30. Everything in between, you can do the math. 1 hour and 30 minutes into the show is wow, that leaves me with a lot of time when I can't eat. But I'm having blood work done on Thursday afternoon, just a standard thing that my doctor wanted to do. And so I have to fast for 12 hours, which is fine. I can do a fast, no problem. I mean, I've done many fasts in my life, but when I'm working, not so much. So this is going to be crazy. And then I can't eat breakfast when I go home. Also difficult because I'm feeding the pets and I'm going to get to watch them eat. And then I'll just conk out and go to sleep. But gosh, we're going to do this 1 hour at a time. And also over the next 90 minutes, I will be stuffing my face. I've got not only some chicken, some leftover chicken. I'm really excited about that. I've got yogurt. I already had a banana. I had a few Wheat Thins. I've still got an apple. I might raid the vending machine. These days, no one's around. Nothing's working. So if you kick it really hard, something might fall down. Also, I don't know if I'm allowed to drink coffee in these 12 hours, but hell if I'm going the next 12 hours without drinking coffee. That's not happening. In fact, my current cup of coffee will probably still have something in it by the time we get through these next 90 minutes. So yeah, this is going to be a challenge for your host. Otherwise, I feel like many people in our industry were a little challenged by Wednesday evening. Not me. I have plenty of things to do when there are no sports on TV or no sports to watch, really. But for the first time in what feels like a long time, and forgive me for not knowing the date of this, but you remember when a bunch of the sports decided not to play at the time they were protesting, I think it was Jacob Blake, which... Yes, you remember. And so they were protesting what happened in Kenosha, Wisconsin. And so we had a bunch of the sports shut down, kind of straddled, some baseball on one day, some baseball on the next day. The NBA did their walkout. Hockey was the next day. So there were a couple of days in which there were no hoops in hockey and baseball had stopped. I can't remember if there was football that night, though. I do remember it was on a Thursday, but I don't remember if there was football that night because I can't remember the date of it and I didn't really look it up. But that would be the last time that we kind of had a lull in the sports world. So Wednesday was no baseball, no basketball, no football, no hockey. There was NASCAR. I'm sure there was soccer overseas somewhere. So there were actual sports, but not the four major team sports that we focus on here in the U.S. And gosh, if you think back to when the sports returned, it was late July, right? We had the NBA, we had Major League Baseball, we had hockey all kind of coming back within a week or 10 days of each other. And so it just, it got kind of nutso really fast. Wednesday evening was awesome. Your host will be the first one to say, I did not miss having to sit in front of the tube for 4 or 5 hours. It was okay to have a break. Some friends asked me if I wanted to come over, and I told them I had yard work to do. I had emails to answer. I had phone calls to make. It was just really nice to be able to do my dishes and rake my leaves and not have to worry about what time it was other than when is it getting dark. So yeah, for the first time, I raked leaves at my new place. Oh my gosh, they're heavy and wet. So of course, the leaf blower wouldn't work on them. So instead, I went ahead and just used the old muscles. And I'm certain that an hour of raking leaves counts as exercise. Maybe not straight cardio, but definitely exercise. I put a lot of muscles into it. And so this is the first evening in which there were no baseball games for a long time, and it'll change a little bit as we get into November. Now, we still have the Masters. We obviously have other sports operating, college football and the NFL, but generally Tuesday and Wednesday evenings will be evenings without sports. Why? Well, because the NBA and the NHL aren't returning at the end of October, right? So isn't it crazy to think about? This week, we would have hoops and hockey starting if this was a typical year. It's anything but typical. And so there are no tip-offs to the NBA season on Halloween. There are no puck drops on the start of the NHL season. And at this point, it's a fluid situation, isn't everything? We're not sure when we're going to see the start of those two seasons. Late December, maybe January, it's still in flux because the players' associations are negotiating with the leagues. They don't know what it will look like. Are they going to open up all the arenas? Would they even think about fans? I mean, there's just a lot of considerations, not to mention the players' association wanting some of its teams to have time off. But, you know, I was thinking about it. I actually think I kind of just generally mumbled this last week at some point. It's been forever since we've seen Klay Thompson play basketball, Kevin Durant play basketball. Just in general, think about the teams that did not get into the bubble on both the hoops and the hockey sides. We haven't seen them play by the time they get back underway, say January, we're talking 10 months. That's a long time if you were one of those teams that didn't get into the bubble to go without playing. So you have to balance those who need the time off because they played all the way into the championship series. And then you have to balance that with those who need to get back to work, kind of use it or lose it type of thing. It's really difficult to plan when you don't know what the climate's going to look like. However, I think the NFL has offered a really great blueprint. I think the other sports that will return at some point can look at the NFL that's not operating in a bubble and believe that there's a model, a blueprint. Lots of these leagues losing lots of money, and that's another consideration. It's definitely going to change the sports landscape as we move forward. But that's another problem for another time, peeps. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you want the ability to adjust your loan options in real time, Rocket can. I am excited to hear from you. We've got a fun question that we've been trying out on some of our coworkers here, and we think it's going to create quite the debate. Believe me when I tell you that producer Dave already has a list. I reminded him before the show, and he's like, don't you worry, I've got it already. So we've given him a heads up, of course. But we'll drop that question on you in 11 minutes. 11 minutes, okay? So this is a question that's going to revolve around quarterbacks because we're obsessed with quarterbacks, and the NFL primarily, though we're going to look at it from the college angle as well. So just get ready. On Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. In the wake of the World Series and the Dodgers beating the Rays in Game 6, a couple of things I wanted to throw out there. The powers that be at Major League Baseball have launched an investigation, you knew this was coming, into Justin Turner's post-game activities. He didn't want to isolate. Neither did the Dodgers want him to stay in isolation after they'd won the trophy. And so he was out on the field. And if you haven't seen the video, Fox Sports released a video that showed his entire post-game celebration. You can tell that most of it was with a mask and most of it is following protocols, the ones that apply to people who are allowed to be out there. He was not supposed to be out there. And so now baseball's launched an investigation. Here's what I want to know. Is this investigation going to be one of those sternly worded reports like the one that came out after the Houston Astros were exposed for their sign stealing schemes? It would be no doubt one that created an uproar if Justin Turner was suspended, but none of the Astros were. Oh, just the tangled web, considering it was those two teams that met in 2017. Justin Turner's now a free agent, so he's, who knows? I would expect the Dodgers would re-sign him, but he is a free agent. His contract expired after Game 6. Here's the good news, even as baseball wraps itself up in another investigation. Both teams, both the Rays and the Dodgers, were cleared. They all got tested. All the tests came back negative. They both flew home. So the Rays went back to Florida. The Dodgers went back to Los Angeles or to California. And Justin Turner stayed in Arlington along with his wife, who also tested negative. So while his samples were tested multiple times and it wasn't a false positive, no one around him at this point has tested positive for the virus. And so Justin Turner and his wife, Courtney, are still in Arlington and will travel when they're cleared. Everybody else has vacated the premises. I got to say, people asked me all day long, and we did talk about it on the show a little bit, but people asked me all day long, what do you think about Justin Turner being out there? Well, number one, I think short of arresting him and throwing him in jail, what was baseball supposed to do? Are you going to tackle him if he tries to go out on the field? And then you consider that the Dodgers themselves wanted him out there. So baseball was really hogtied. I do like that image. There was not a whole lot that baseball, Major League Baseball, could do. Again, short of physically holding him back, which is, in my opinion, ridiculous. I can't tell you what anyone else would do, but I can tell you if it was me and I was a member of the Dodgers, after going through the fire with Justin Turner, after all of the near misses, the epic disappointments, after all the work, the time, the effort, the blood, sweat, tears they've invested, I would want him to be out there too. These are world-class athletes. We know very few of them even show symptoms, and if they do, they're relatively mild. But regardless, this is a personal thing. I can understand why the Dodgers wanted him out there and were willing to risk catching the virus, although it's difficult if it's just casual contact, catching the virus or facing whatever quarantines were thrown at them to have their brother out there on the field with them. You know me, I'm an emotional girl. This is the moment of a lifetime for the Dodgers. It may never come around again. It certainly won't come around again for this same group of guys. I can understand why Dave Roberts and the rest of the Dodgers players were a little less cautious on a night after they just climbed to the summit of the mountain and won their first World Series as a group and the first for the franchise in 32 years. I have no doubt, knowing me, I would have felt the exact same way. Does that mean everybody has to? No. Maybe there were some Dodgers who kept their distance. You notice that a lot of them were wearing masks on the post game. Again, Turner was wearing a mask for most of the time, took it off for the photo and for a couple of photos with the trophy. As for Justin's wife, I mean, again, putting myself in that situation, wild horses wouldn't have kept me away from my husband or kissing my husband, or if I'm a loved one of Justin Turner, hugging and being all excited to be around him after everything he's done to get to this point. We've missed a lot of celebrations, of family time, of smiles and joy and excitement with our loved ones this year. At some point, in my personal experience, in my personal opinion, it's worth the risk. And I can see why the Dodgers thought it was worth whatever risk or quarantine they had to go through to have Justin Turner out there. So baseball is going to do what baseball has to do. If you want to send this strongly worded message, if you want to suspend Justin Turner, I'm quite certain he still wouldn't change it. But I'm glad both teams were able to travel home. I'm sad for the Dodgers that it doesn't look like they'll have a conventional parade or celebration, though LeBron James is already pleading with whoever will listen. You know, you plead on Twitter and generally a lot gets done. And so a lot has changed. But for Justin Turner, for Dave Roberts, for the Los Angeles Dodgers, this chance will never come around again. Not for this particular group, not in this moment. And so I'm happy for them. We'll let you know if baseball puts together a 30-page report to detail what went wrong and why. When it comes to the World Series ratings, it's interesting to see the numbers. Some of you have also asked me about this. It was a 32% cumulative drop from the previous lowest rated World Series. How about that? The six games on Fox averaged 9.8 million viewers. Doesn't sound terrible, right? And actually, when you compare it to the NBA, which averaged 7.5 million viewers, can you believe? On average, 2 million more people were watching the World Series than were watching the NBA Finals. However, this year's rating was down 36% from Nationals Astros a year ago. And was also down 32% from the previous lowest rated World Series. And that goes back to 2012 Giants-Tigers. Here's a cool note, though. As the Dodgers were clinching their title, first one in 32 years, about 14.5 million people tuned in to see kind of the end, the clincher. And that was the largest audience for any Fox broadcast since Game 6 last year. On a Tuesday night. Isn't that weird? They track them by days too. So anyway, as much as the ratings were down, and we've seen that trend across the board in sports, it still won the night for Fox. Even though This Is Us returned, I think. I'm pretty sure. I don't watch This Is Us. I watched the first season, and then I kind of got away from it. But it returned, and I think it lost, it didn't have as many viewers as the World Series, I think. I remember reading that. Anyway, so that's kind of your perspective. They were down, they were way down, but still better than the NBA Finals, which I think for the NBA, they were completely out of their regular their regular routine and on the schedule and everything else. But we now have another champion crowned. As I was talking about this on last night's show, Tampa Bay Lightning, September 28th, remember? And I mentioned the Lakers on October 11th, and of course, October 27th for the Dodgers. We could also throw the Seattle Storm in there, who won their title October 6th. So if you think about the four major team sports, and then you throw in this extra league, the women's side, WNBA, you're talking about four champs crowned in the last month, which is pretty cray. My nieces get so mad at me when I say that, but I do it just to make them mad. They also tell me never, ever, ever say, you have street cred. Like, well, of course I don't. All right. See, I'm already getting goofy and I haven't even started fasting yet. Anyway, you can find me on Twitter, ALR Radio. Coming up, we're going to throw our question at you. We're going to throw it at you like a piece of spaghetti to see if it sticks to the wall. That's how Grammy said to test it, to see if it was done. We'll throw the question against the wall and we'll see if it sticks and see if you like it and you want to talk about it. But something tells me, since we are obsessed with QBs, definitely you're going to like this question.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast. It's time to pull on the pads and hit somebody. Eek. On After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
Do you know we're getting set to kick off week 8 in the NFL? Week freaking 8. How did that happen? Oh my goodness. Crazy that we're nearly halfway through. Not quite, but we are more than a third of the way through the NFL season. And you may have seen this note on Wednesday. The NFL is planning to have fans at the Super Bowl. Limited capacity, of course, masks mandatory, absolutely. But the league is moving forward with plans to have reduced capacity in Tampa for Super Bowl 55. It is 55, right? Yes, on February 7th. Now, that is the date, though it could be pushed back if need be. We know that. Pretty much all the cities, all the leagues, all the teams, everybody's on board with the TV networks with moving the Super Bowl if they need to, though their first option would be scrapping that off week between Championship Sunday and the Super Bowl. So right now it's set for February 7th. It's probably going to stay there unless something drastic happens. And even though it's several months out, they're looking at 20% capacity, roughly, at Raymond James Stadium in Tampa. They actually think they might add seating, so temporary seating. Sometimes they do that to increase capacity at a particular arena. But fans, of course, will be in their pods. That's kind of what they're calling them. And then the masks will be required. But because right now, there are 19 teams of the 32 in the NFL that have been authorized by their local municipalities to host regular season games, to have fans. The average has been around 20%. And so that number has been working so far for NFL teams, even though the league is currently leaving it up to the local stadiums who have to abide by local laws. But the Buccaneers have had just shy of 11,000 fans at two home games. 11,000 is about what they had at the World Series games in Arlington. And so there's a lot of ways this could play out. As I mentioned, the Super Bowl could be pushed back. They could get rid of that week off between Championship Sunday and the Super Bowl, which would be great because sometimes feels like those 2 weeks of pregame stretch on forever. Here's what I don't know. I have no idea what type of events, what type of access the media will have. I have no idea if we'll have a radio row. I don't know if our show will go to Tampa. I haven't not been on site for a Super Bowl since it was in New York, and that was 14, maybe? I think it was 14, 2014. Maybe it was 15. Sorry. You know me and my my dates that all blend together. So this is good news. Maybe it changes. Maybe there's more capacity. Maybe there's less. But we'll see as we get closer to the Super Bowl and certainly closer to the playoffs. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Now, our phone number is something that you're going to need. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. Do you want to know what's really scary as we head toward Halloween? Seeing just how much you could have been saving on car insurance by switching to Geico. It'll keep you up at night, so switch to Geico and save, and then you can sleep. Oh, no, you can't. You have to listen to our show. You can't sleep. If I can't sleep, you can't sleep. Okay, here's the dealio, yo. As we were thinking about where the NFL is 7 weeks through the season, we know that there are some really bad teams. Actually, I heard Sam Darnold say this recently, and it cracked up laughing. He said, we're 0-7. It's obviously not optimal. You think? Anyway, there are some bad teams. And the worse a team plays, the more you start to hear fan bases talk about tanking for Trevor. Trevor Lawrence, the star quarterback at Clemson, who's not just a great football player. He's an awesome, classy, gracious, kind, thoughtful, intelligent young man who's already engaged to be married, even though he's still in college, which is just another piece of the puzzle. But a lot of fan bases will say, let's tank for Trevor. I even saw a friend of mine who loves the Dallas Cowboys say that the Cowboys should tank for Trevor. So all across the NFL landscape, there are fan bases who think Trevor Lawrence would be an upgrade over what they have right now. So here's our question. As you think about the teams in the NFL, regardless of what their record is, how many of you, no, how many of them, excuse me, how many of them, meaning NFL teams, do you believe would take Trevor Lawrence right now if they could? It doesn't necessarily mean they want him or they don't believe their quarterback is suitable. Maybe they have an elderly quarterback. Maybe they have an aging QB and they'd like to have this next guy come along. How many teams in the NFL do you think would take Trevor Lawrence if they could? So whether it's by having that number one pick or whether somehow it's by a trade, I can't imagine the team that lands the number one pick is going to trade it. It's a little bit like the Joe Burrow situation with the Bengals last year. But how many teams out there, in your opinion, would either draft or trade for Trevor Lawrence right now or whenever he becomes available? But like thinking about it from where your team is right now. We've got a bunch of different people who are going to weigh in, including Trevor Lawrence himself, talking about his decision. He saw that there was some clickbait about him potentially staying at Clemson, which is interesting. Well, that would ruin a lot of plans, wouldn't it? But on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence, how many NFL teams do you believe would take Trevor Lawrence right now if they could get him? Regardless of how they get him, draft or trade, how many out there do you think would take him? To replace what they have instantly or to train him as their next franchise QB? 855-212-4227. And please name them. Don't just give me a number. Which teams out there? Maybe we should say it like that. Which teams out there do you think would take Trevor Lawrence right now? 855-212-4CBS. I'm excited to hear your answers. We've been thinking about this for a while. Again, please don't just send me a number. I shouldn't have said how many. Which teams do you think would take him right now if they could get their hands on him? Figuratively, of course.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
It's tough. I don't know. I mean, we'll just have to see how things unfold. I think there's a lot of factors in that, but honestly, just really playing this year, putting everything I have into it, not really focusing on next year.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
That was Trevor Lawrence. Maybe caught unawares by the question that he was asked about whether or not he was definitively going to leave school once this season and this school year is over, or if he thought about staying at Clemson. And so initially he kind of stutters a little bit and then is noncommittal, which I can understand. Why would you be committing at this point? Didn't Chase Young do the same thing last year, talking about whether or not he would stay in school? And so if I'm Trevor Lawrence, I don't answer those questions either, because I still have most of my football season to go through. And why do you want to have that kind of distraction? Not that this is going to do a whole lot to assuage those people who are desperate for an answer. But yeah, he was asked this week about his future plans, even though he's still in the middle of quarterbacking the Tigers.
Just really focusing on this year, not trying to look ahead, not trying to worry about that. Obviously, I can't control it. And really just trusting that God has a plan for me, no matter where that is, no matter where I go, whether that's across the country, whether that's close to home, where I stay another year, no matter what it is, you know, we'll work it out.
Trevor Lawrence is certainly right now considered the prize of this upcoming draft class. He's considered a can't-miss prospect. Here's what I say about that. There's no such thing as can't-miss. There's no such thing as a sure thing. Not when it comes to sports, not when it comes to humans. As we saw with the analytics last night, game 6 of the World Series, analytics can only tell you so much. And while Trevor Lawrence appears to have all the tools, at the same time, injuries happen or unexpected obstacles, hurdles, development issues, those happen too. It's not as easy as you think, or as easy as some of these guys make it look. I hope that he has a smooth transition and becomes a ginormous star, as I think he will be a fantastic representative of whatever franchise chooses him or he chooses. And I believe that he'll be a great ambassador for the NFL. Everything that we know of this young man so far, A+. Off the charts. Awesome. But how many teams out there do you think would take him right now on their roster? Now, I'm not saying they're all going to tank, but how many teams out there have designs or at least fantasies of what can happen if they could potentially get their hands on a Trevor Lawrence? And I want you to name them. Don't just tell me 27. That's ridiculous. There are not 27 franchises in the NFL that would take Trevor Lawrence right now. Also, think about the fact that some of them have just paid their young quarterbacks, so they'd have to find a trade partner, probably. But it's an interesting question when you think about those teams that are not good, but have a quarterback that they drafted high, and either they're about to pay him or they just paid him, and you think, okay, do you scrap all the investment that you've sunk into this young hotshot QB that you have right now for a prospect, which will require investment, money, time, development? Do you start all over again because you think Trevor Lawrence is that much better than what you have right now? I do think that we get so dazzled by the college stats, the talk, the excitement, certainly the dream of getting the man But it takes time. It takes time, and it also requires the money to get you there. The devil you know, the devil you don't know. But there are a lot of different scenarios where teams, I think, would bring Trevor Lawrence in. Whether it's a situation like the Bengals, who got Joe Burrow and instantly made him the starter. Whether it's a situation like the Kansas City Chiefs, who drafted Patrick Mahomes, but he played behind Alex Smith for a year. And it was perfect. Could you have asked for anything better with the young man's development? Excuse me. No doubt, Andy Reid, Eric Bieniemy, the powers that be at the Chiefs could see that Mahomes had exactly what they were looking for, and he was off the charts good at what they asked him to do. But he did not start until week 17. And then they traded Alex Smith away. So it's easy to look at the teams that right now have no wins, Jets, or few wins. But honestly, I think you could have a great debate about the New York Giants, the Philadelphia Eagles. The Eagles have committed and invested and thrown a lot into the Carson Wentz basket, so to speak. They put a lot of eggs in that basket. Are they ready to say he's not the right guy? Because I don't think it's that cut and dried. The Eagles are bad. Their offensive line is bad. I don't think this is all on Carson Wentz. In fact, I still think you see that fearless quality in him. Sometimes you see the potential that this guy's got. When it comes to the Giants, so same division, NFC East. It's easy to pick on the NFC East. The Giants love Daniel Jones. And how do you even know the kind of development he's making when he's under siege all the time? Or when he has very few people to throw to. So are you really willing, if you're the Giants, I'll just stick with that example for a second. Even after you drafted Daniel Jones, was it sixth or seventh? You Giants fans can yell at me. When they surprised everyone last year and drafted him in the spring, instead of taking Dwayne Haskins, who fell to the Redskins, at the time it was the Redskins, and they love Daniel Jones. They think he's got all the tools. So there's another question. Two teams out of the NFC East. I mean, there are probably some Cowboys fans out there that think Trevor Lawrence would be better than Dak Prescott. Except we've never seen Trevor Lawrence take a snap in the NFL. There's always going to be a question until he actually gets to that point. What about some of the teams with older quarterbacks? I mean, Drew Brees with the Saints is looking at either his last season or second to last season. Is Taysom Hill going to be his replacement? Jameis Winston, or would Trevor Lawrence be the right fit there? Are there any Niners fans that are going to say we would take Trevor Lawrence over what we've got in Jimmy Garoppolo? And so these are all really interesting questions. The New England Patriots, they haven't had a baby quarterback in a long time. They even went away from Jarrett Stidham to get Cam Newton. What about the Browns? Anybody out there going to tell me that Baker Mayfield isn't the answer coming off a 5-touchdown day, that you think Trevor Lawrence would be a better fit? Love to hear from you. On Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Your tweets are pouring in, which is really cool. And again, if you're just going to give me a number, I'm probably not going to use it. So name the teams. Justin thinks it's only three teams. The Jets, the Lions, the Jaguars. So what we're asking you is how many teams, which teams out there do you believe would take Trevor Lawrence right now if they could? Whether for an instant starter, whether for the future QB. Brian says Bears. There's a good one. Lions. Matt Stafford is later in his career, but he's not that far removed from a contract, if I'm not mistaken. Bears, Lions, Falcons, Giants, Jets, Jaguars, Broncos. I mean, they like Drew Lock. Raiders, Colts, Vikings, Panthers, who love Teddy Bridgewater, Patriots, Saints, Bucks, Washington, and then he says Philly. So he's got more than half the league listed there. I like this tweet. All the winless teams. There's only one, but okay. So let's talk to Tony, who's in Massachusetts. You got about 90 seconds. Go ahead.
Okay, and you basically just took all my answers.
So, no, I was reading a tweet.
Okay, so this is what I'm thinking about two scenarios. Teams that have good older quarterbacks that are looking to get him going forward. The Bucks, Green Bay, if something happens to Aaron Rodgers, the Saints, and those are the only two I can think about that have really good old quarterbacks. Oh, and the Steelers. Now, the other teams that wouldn't need him, the Chargers, Seattle, Arizona, the Bengals, the Bills, the Giants are happy with what they have.
But Philly, if they could get Trevor Lawrence, would they?
Yeah, but then you have to get to the trade thing. You're making it real complicated doing it that way. Okay, if they could get him, I think, here's the teams that wouldn't take them. Then everybody else is in play. Seattle, Arizona, the Bengals, Buffalo, and who else that I have on that list?
Houston? No.
No, Houston.
Okay.
Yeah, Houston would not take them because they have Deshaun.
Because they have Deshaun. Yeah, exactly. Right. So that's what I'm asking. It's like, it's pretty interesting if you think about it.
I'm just naming the teams that would not take them.
10 seconds.
And I gave you two teams that would take them, or three, because of their older quarterbacks. Then
got
you can
it.
Talk about it. All
right. And you can talk about it. Thank you, Tony. Good to talk to you. So think about it. A-Law Radio, After Hours with Amy Lawrence on Facebook. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. We're going to look at the Big Ten's return, college football, and you know what? I'll ask Joshua Perry, who's a former Ohio State linebacker, what he thinks of Trevor Lawrence and Clemson football.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.